I don't get it. Only a few kids came forward. Come on, you all codgers or what? You know, we're alive unto the Lord, right? Amen. Doesn't matter what your age is. We're his kids. You know, this morning I want to go over some of the themes that are in the Sermon on the Mount. So we're going to go to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to go back to basics. It's the songs we sang this morning about that, right? Everybody here in this room, and I know all of you, know, I could probably even preach this sermon, but everybody here has an understanding of what the prophetic word came forth today from so many, and Bruce outlined it, targeted the Holy Spirit. Without the Spirit, what's this all about? We'll just come and sit here and sing songs. And the last song is that we're sorry if we're doing that. Right? But here's the things, here's the outline of what we know here. And we first met Jesus, we fell in love with him. Is that true? We made a confession. Maybe we went through the sinner's prayer, not even knowing, saying, you know, I confess the Lord Jesus is my Lord and Savior, and I think it'd probably be okay to get water baptized. It doesn't matter where, right, Leanne? And I think that I need to be filled with the Spirit, and I would really, really appreciate the gift of the Spirit and the gift of tongues. And so we come into that place where we know these things, right? And we're right in, we don't even need the Holy of Holies. It was destroyed, right? It was ripped. The veil of into the temple or into the Holy of Holies was ripped, meaning it doesn't exist anymore. So where is it? It's everywhere you are. He left the 99 to find you. And he found you. So here we are, blessed beyond compare to anyone in biblical history. Every one of us individually. Wow. That's a great place to be. Now, Matthew chapter 6 says, that's good, but here's some ground rules for you. And here, the problem is that so many Christians come into the kingdom of God, his government, and they think they can break the ground rules. They think they can be carnal Christians, not knowing even what that word means. They think they can still hold on to things from their old life, not knowing what they are. But we are to be conformed into the image of Christ. And what that means is we have to leave a lot of things behind. When I was a kid, I didn't have a lot of things that I have today. You know what I had for my possession? I had an 8-transistor radio. That's about it. That's it. 8-transistor. I was really, the day they invented the 12-transistor radio, I was going crazy. As you can imagine, Mr. Tech, you know, love it. But that isn't really what it's about. Where I went, I couldn't bring things like that with me. I remember when we were walking on the dump in Manila and we were surrounded by children, really. Their lifespan on a dump in Manila was 36 years old. Most of you are older than that. So, all these kids. And I didn't have a thing on me. I didn't have my Bible. I didn't have my watch. I didn't have any electronic toys. I wore the shabbiest clothes I could possibly wear so I could just throw them away. Because once you go on the dump, you're exposed to all kinds of diseases. It was just in 35 minutes as a microbiologist. I knew that I saw with my own eyes everything I've learned about in 4 years of college. You know, they had fresh well water drawn up in buckets, and then a dog came over and drank out of it. So, well, so much for fresh water. So much for being parasite-free. So much for that. Child comes over and gives you a hug. What are you going to say, no hugs today? And the fleas are jumping on you and biting you. And the little 80s mosquitoes, they love Manila, especially the dump there. And they carry all kinds of little creatures with them. But I didn't have anything but the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And we went in and we saw those who were being taken care of, who had, the children had AIDS, those who had tuberculosis. Saw a 17-year-old boy, he had TB. He looked like he was six. And you realize how rich you are. How? Because we gave our heart to the Lord Jesus. We fell in love with him. After we made that confession, the Holy Spirit comes into us. We've been water baptized, a seal of the covenant. And he comes in, and we begin to have a love affair with him that can never be replaced with anything else. Yes, yes. Nothing carnal can touch him. You came here this morning because there was something that was drawing you here. I was sitting in the driveway waiting for Cheryl this morning. It was really funny. And I was playing, I don't know, it was one of the Christian songs that was talking about I've changed or something. And it had a heavy bass guitar. I had the windows closed, and I didn't have it on too loud. But suddenly I'm surrounded by these sparrows who had no, didn't want to leave. I said, this is a unique sound. What is this? All creation is waiting, is groaning for the revelation of the sons of God, says in Romans. There's something that's drawing every creature to us as we worship the Lord. And that's what's drawing us here. That's what we go to visit on Friday night. It isn't some, oh, it's just another meeting. Because we have fallen in love with somebody. And then he comes in and says, you need to change. You need to come and become more like me. We have to need some, leave some stuff behind. We have to make it real. This isn't fake. This isn't a political process that we try to drum up some kind of truth. The truth is already there, self-evident. The gospel of the kingdom of God. And that gospel is about separating the kingdom of God from the kingdoms of this world. There are a lot of kingdoms out there that are vying for your attention. Even some relatively good ones. I used to love watching Fox News. I can barely stand it anymore. I can't even watch TV. There's so much out there vying for your attention. But there's something that God wants to talk to us about, first of all, in this Sermon on the Mount. Our motivation and our focus. One, motivation. Two, focus. So let's talk about motivation. Right away, gets right into it, the nitty-gritty. And see, don't leave this behind. It's the stuff he says here can tempt you. You think, I'm above this. Don't believe it. The enemy can make it very, very attractive. He can make it almost seem invisible, so you don't even know you're doing it. That's why you need the Word of God. That's why you need preachers like me. He says, take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men. I would never do that. To be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So the kingdom of heaven is different than that. This kingdom you live in is different. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, meaning something that's not going to help you but help others, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and the streets, as they might have glory from men. There's a lot of subtle ways of doing that without blowing a trumpet. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. That's it. That's all they're getting. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret. And your Father, who sees everything in secret, will himself reward you openly. How will he do that? Well, to me, we don't come here for a blessing, we're saying. We come here for the presence of God. What more reward can we have? He doesn't owe us anything. And yet he does give us a blessing. Aren't you glad for that? You know, I spoke about this several occasions in the last couple of weeks, but there's a word that's used in the Bible that has lost its popularity amongst preachers, has lost its popularity in your testimonies, and that is the word mercy. We like loving kindness. We like a lot of things. We like blessing. We like worshiping the Father. But mercy is what we need in the earth today. Mercy is the outcome of God's love, of his loving kindness. And without it, we're doomed. Mercy is a blessing of God that's not earned at all. Do we need that? The executive branch need that? Does the legislative branch need that? Does the justice system need that? All the way down through the courts. We need his mercy. Does the Republican Party of town of Ulster need that? Boy, they sure do. You know, after going to a lot of their meetings, I'm like saying, this is not any better than I would imagine it would be in Moscow in 1965. People are out after their own agenda, their own careers, their own whatever. But that is carnal too. It's carnal nature to somehow build yourself up. So I have the words of truth. Well, good for you. Paul says, I see through a glass darkly. We should be very humble when we come before the Lord. We don't know it all, including me. That's why I like to go to the Word of God. It's not in me. It's in here. And I'm just, you know, for Hank's benefit, this is the Bible that I have displayed before me. Hank wants me to go back to my old blue Bible again, right? All right, then he says something different. He says, don't be like them. It's okay, Lord. Come on, you guys baptized in the Spirit, you know, New Testament Christians. Well, he said, don't be like them. For your Father knows your needs before you ask him. He says, when you pray, before he was talking about your motivations for giving, now he's talking about prayer. He says, when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and the corners of the streets. We don't do that anymore. You could say, well, I don't do that. Well, when you stand up, when you raise your hands, are you raising your hands for others to see, or are you raising your hands before the Lord? Surely I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room. And when you shut the door, pray to your Father who is in a secret place. Your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. The blessings are there. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do, whatever prayer they might use, where they think they will be heard for their many words. It says, therefore, don't be like them. Now, when I was very, very sick with shoulder pain on my right shoulder, by the way, it's right shoulder is really strong. Don't get in the way. But that was, what, a year and some months ago. It didn't take very long for that to heal in the span of my lifetime. But while I was in it, under that kind of pain in the middle of the night, there was only one place I wanted to go. Wasn't the kitchen, wasn't it? Right? Drugs wasn't helping it. But there was one place that did, absolutely, and that was a secret place. Isaiah says you are going to find him in the secret place, in the darkness, utter darkness, place where there is no hope, you will find hope. Okay, to end the sermon here, that's pretty good. Doesn't get better than that. And so when I come to find the Lord in that secret place, that's where I'm seeking him. He says, seek me, you'll find me. Maybe it won't be the secret place that you had before, but still, seek me. Cheryl got me interested in photography years ago. I'm glad she did, because I find him in secret places that I never even saw before. And that is communicated to many people I thought would never get it. You know, they would use bad language on Facebook, which not that unusual. But if you do that and you're talking to me, I probably wouldn't take it more than once or twice, and you would not be my friend anymore. because that's not a secret place. Facebook is not a secret place. But for me, it's a way of communicating what God is and who he is in my life. And that's through the pictures that I take. And thank you, Cheryl. He says, well, all right, so you pray. New Testament Christians, 2021, post-COVID, some of you vaccinated, some not. You pray like this. He says, he makes declaratives. First thing, you don't ask for the list. My shoulder, my friend's shoulder, whatever they're going through. Don't go to the list first. Make some declarations. Here's the declarations. Our Father in heaven, his kingdom is not a kingdom of this world. It's the kingdom of God. And heaven shall visit the earth in you, the church, through the Holy Spirit. Believe it? Well, live like it. Some of you come in today and it's like, what, did you have pickles for breakfast? You're kids. You're God's kids. Smile. Jessica told me a trick. She said, Dad, put a pencil in your mouth. Not like this, but like this. You feel better, don't you? I said, yeah, I do. Thank you, Jessica. Our Father, Declaration 1, our Father who is in heaven. 2, hallowed be your name. Holy is your name. Declaration. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth just like it is in heaven. Declaration. A lot of that has yet to be done in fullness. And yet, when we experience it, it's full. You're baptized in the Spirit. You're baptized in the Spirit. You're overflowing. The gifts of the Spirit cannot be contained, but they flow out from you, just even in your smile, in your encouraging words. And then you make your request. Interesting request here is this: give us this day our daily bread. And he's not really talking about physical bread alone, although I really love that sourdough. Thank you, Brian. Where are you? Brian brings us our sourdough. That's not a prayer. I'm not praying for that. Because you know what? In the United States, very few people have to worry about bread. If you do, give me a call. I'll make some for you. I have a bread maker. The daily bread is his provision for us. That's the list. And when we first start praying as immature Christian babies, we pray for our own needs and our own welfare. But then we begin to pray for others. I'm waking up less at night. You know, pain starts to get intense, so I wake up and I take something, a Tylenol, or I might not take anything, but sometimes I do, Tylenol or ibuprofen. And I got up about the third time, and I said, I'm not taking any more drugs. The Holy Spirit says, this isn't a time for drugs. This is a time for prayer. Now bring the list. And the prayer wasn't for me. It was for those I knew who were suffering. Like James Baldwin. His brother is a born-again Christian. Did you know that? He's been praying for him for a long time. But he's got to be a hurting cowboy. Literally. Not as an actor anymore, but literally a hurting cowboy. I said, well, Lord, give him his bread. Give him what he needs. And the Holy Spirit, visit him tonight. And that's exactly what I prayed. I may never know the answer to these prayers that I pray, but I'm not going to stop praying them. Leanna's here this morning. I was praying for her, too. Because we go through things, even us spiritual mighty warriors, we go through times when we need spiritual spotters. You know, as weightlifters lift weights, they have spotters around them to help in case they get into trouble. I used to lift 50 kilos. There were times when to get it down, I had to bring it down and it rested on my chest and I couldn't move it. That's kind of painful. For the first few minutes, and even more painful after that. Oh, wouldn't I be a very happy man to have a spotter then. And so will you when you go through times when it just seems crazy. You're confused. You don't know what the Lord is saying. And then it goes right from the physical things to request something else. Spiritual. Forgive us our debts. Spiritual thing that we owe as we forgive our debtors. It's not talking about money. It's talking about those that we have offended, spiritually wounded. And then, number six, address the evil schemes. The enemy has a lot of evil schemes. Is that true? Most of you know that, right? But I'm going to tell you a secret. He doesn't have anything new. They're not new. All the stuff he has, mankind has already been through. Chances are you've already been through it too. They're not new. Anyway, pray this, he says. Oh, Christian, oh, you out there, 2021, do not lead us into temptation. These schemes may be there, but I'm not going to be tempted by them. But deliver us, not from the temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Because he's the one that's behind it. It doesn't matter if he's using demons, the circumstances, whatever scheme he might use, we're to pray, I'm not going down that road. Spiritually, I'm going to be above this because I'm in the kingdom of God, not of the kingdoms of this world. You've been saved, cleaned, fresh by the blood of the Lamb. Though your sins were as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Now, when we get the first snow, we usually get them in November. I want you to take a good look at it. It is really super clean. As far as I know, there's not much strontium-90 in it even anymore. They stopped the nuclear test. It's clean, wonderfully clean. And it makes the earth look all new, wonderfully new, a type of what God has done for us. And then he ends the prayer with another declarative. And I think that's important for us to do in our prayers. So we don't pray exactly these words, but we should pray like it. Make another declarative. For yours is the kingdom.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Boy, I'm so glad for that. The power, nobody else has the power. And the glory forever. Not just for this time, but forever. And you can say amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, if you forgive your men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you don't, well, you've broken the covenant. Neither will your Father forgive your trespass. It's about the only time I know that the grace of God isn't sufficient is when you allow bitterness to enter your heart. It's like a disease. Don't let it in. I gave it up. I gave it to the Lord, but it's back again today. Well, then give it up again. That doesn't happen to you? It's happened to me. I don't know how you can really be married and not know that verse. Because you have to work at being married. Is that right?
That's right?
That work means you have to continually choose love and not being bitter or defensive. You have to choose love and ask God for some miracle, creative ability to make it happen. Well, he loved you. That miracle ability is resonant with you in the Holy Spirit. That creative force, when you look out in nature, that you so marvel at, is in you. He knows the name of every star. He named them all. He only asked Adam to name creatures on the earth. But Jesus knows every one and has a name for each one. I doubt if they're in the star catalog. Next time you see your fellow Christian or even someone in the world, remember, he knows their name. And he says, even I have a special name that I'm going to reveal to you when it comes time. He says, you have a special name. Do you know that? I'm not sure I want to know what it is right now. But he does have a special name. Just like we have special names for our kids. I don't know, Hillary was firstborn. So I think, how many names did I have for her? I don't know. Dozens. Motivations. Number three, fasting. Something that most of us don't like to do because it costs us hunger, denying our earthly appetites. Moreover, when you fast, don't be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance. You can fast in different ways. I'm fasting and praying for a certain someone. Hi, Peter. Hi. For they disfigure for their faces, that's why I did that, that they may appear to men to be fasting. You're suffering for someone. Surely I say to you that they have their reward. That's it. Okay. But you, when you fast, anoint your head with oil. That means put on the anointing. Wash your face. Be clean so that you do not appear to men to be fasting and suffering for other people. But your heavenly Father who is in a secret place, again, your Father will, who sees in a secret place, will reward you openly. So fasting. So when you're sorrowful or you're putting on a prayer, and that's why we fast most of the time, to pray for things. You know, it's a, I'm going to pray for this country. Oh, man, are you kidding me? Let's put on that fast. No, don't do that. He says, don't do that. When you're fasting for the president or you're fasting for Congress or judicial branch, be happy. Be full of joy. Isn't that what the Lord said to us? Bruce, last time you prophesied something about the joy of the Lord, inseparable from the Spirit. Now, here's one we have problems with, everyone in the United States of America and throughout the whole world. Do not lay up for your treasures. This is number four, motivation. What is it about, treasure or the motivation of treasure? See, I'm talking about motivations. Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven. Where? In heaven, in the kingdom of God. Where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. Where is that? The secret place. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So when you find you have a treasure and a liking for things, I do, I like some things. Maybe it's food. Maybe it's sourdough bread. I don't really, it doesn't matter where your treasure is. Watch out. Be careful. Because as you be conformed into the image of Christ, none of those things were his treasure. Even when he was thirsty and the woman at the well offered him water, he didn't want any water. He says, I have a water that you only wish you had, where it'll never run dry. That's in you this morning. Wow. So these things aren't just for new Christians. They're for us, too, to remind us of how we should behave. These are the ground rules of our behavior as Christians. Change your motivations. That's what he's saying. Learn how to pray. The model prayer is what's motivating you to pray. That's really great, the Lord's Prayer. It's wonderful. Then secondly, in this chapter, he talks about focus. Very closely related to motivations. But you can have the right motivation. Your focus is all over the place. We need those spiritual Q-tips that Brad was talking about. We can hear God. Maybe we need new glasses, spiritual glasses. This is what he goes right into. The lamp of the body is the eye. Some science now believes that the eyes are just an extension of the brain, and it's no different. So I'm looking at a lot of brains out there. If therefore the eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. I want to go there. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Don't think that's just for the new Christian. If we need Q-tips, we need glasses to see in the spirit what God is doing. The evil in this world wants you to see the darkness most of all. Zero in and focus on the darkness. Most of the exhortation my wife gives me at home is, stop that. Who do you think you are? Stop that. Look what you're doing. You're focusing in on the darkness again. Yeah, but you look at what it says here. They're killing innocent children. They're leaving the Afghan people behind. They're killing people all over the world, putting them into slavery. What, there's a lot of darkness out there. Don't focus on that. Don't do it. Change. Jesus is saying, I'm not saying this. Jesus is saying this. Another way to look at the news, or not look at the news at all. You can read it. Just read the headlines. You got enough right there. I can't even figure out the headlines sometimes. How about you guys? I read them back to Cheryl. I said, did you get that at all? Nope. Just like so bizarre. The language is convoluted and meant to be so that you'll dig in deeper. It's like everything is a little trap out there. How sad is that? Can't you just be open and honest then? Oh, that would be refreshing. Well, that can only happen if the church steps forward, because that open and honesty is only found here. Yeah. We sing words like we did this morning, these songs. If you drink them in, the world doesn't like any of those songs. They don't like those truths. And yet, you just embrace it. Sometime in song, more than you do in words, and more than you want to do in changing your life and character. Because that's what this whole chapter is about, character, the character of Christ in you, the hope of glory, the one who lives in you. A new focus. You cannot serve God in riches. Seems obvious. No one can serve two masters, for either he hates the one, loves the other, or he will not be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Can't do it. I have a career to protect. I'm working for my 401k. God may bless you with a 401k. He did me. God blessed me with two wonderful careers. But it was never my focus. The people that I work with, if they heard me say that, they would say, what, are you kidding me? You were the most focused person I knew. There were people that came up to me and said, if I just could be like you, if I could just be so focused, I would go intensive care, and there would be somebody who was dying of a heart attack. Three surgeons there, an internal medicine, anesthesiologist, and the whole family standing by the bed. I said, Peter, you need to draw this guy's blood. We can't get it. Step aside. I go right in and get it and go do my job. Absolute focus. But who taught me that focus? Jesus himself. My first time I did it, the Lord says, I'm going to be with you, son. Little child, you don't know anything, but I do. And you will see the hand of your God, of your Father in heaven. And this man will walk out of here to the surprise of his family and all the physicians. And he did, more than once. When I was managing a surgical practice, even more difficult, because most surgeons are selfish. I won't say too many bad things about them. Selfish is a good one. I'll leave it there. Self-consumed. I don't know how else to say. I mean, they're spoiled. They're taught to be spoiled. They deserve what they get financially. They deserve the vacations that they take. They deserve, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, I was supervising and getting their practice together, and when I took over their practice, it was failing. It was absolutely failing. They were all substandard, less than any of the physicians they knew. And I took them there to the one they were at the top of the food chain in 10 years. They really liked me. But that wasn't my focus. I would go into a staff meeting. I would go into, you know, the meeting of all the physicians. And I would sit down and I said, this isn't about me. It's about what you want and what they want, because that's why I was there. That was the job. But when they came to me one day and said, this isn't going to be enough. They're already at the top of the food chain. this isn't going to be enough for us. My focus said, that's it. That's your last week here. You can't, there is no, they're not going to get another raise. That's it. They're done. And from that point on, which was some 5, 6, 7 years ago, it's been a downhill slope for them. Medicare, COVID, all the things that they faced. They're really, they offered me the job back. Would you believe that? They did. Anything. They said, whatever you want. I said, no, I'm not going back. You know, you can never go back in the Lord. Well, certain things you can when you ask for forgiveness. Right? You can do that. You can. And it works out. But if the enemy wants you to go back and relive something, well, I don't know. I don't know about that. That would have to be a lot of prayer. Special dispensation from the Holy Spirit, I would think. All right. Now, here's one everybody is guilty of. Therefore, I say to you, therefore what? All of these things above. Don't worry about your life. Oh, when you first hear that, you say, oh, thank you, Lord. I'm not going to worry anymore. I said, I'm done worrying. What you? How many testimonies have we heard about that? But what you eat, oh, it's not talking about what I worry about. Cheryl might worry about what she's going to make for dinner tonight, but I don't. Or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will put on, all the things, the basic things of life. Do not worry. Do not. Is not life more than food, and bodily more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap or gather into barns. That's all the preparations you can think of. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them quite well. You are no more, you're of no more value than they. Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon, all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, today is, and tomorrow it's thrown at the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Now, I literally had to go through that experience when I was going to the first gala that I went to for Vassar Hospital. I said, you'll have to wear a black tie. I didn't have one. I didn't have a tuxedo, but I had to rent one. After I rented it, I had to buy it because I found out I had to go to these things twice a year and even more. But I was worried about how I would look. In fact, I said, I want those silver buttons. You know, so I can look distinguished. Oh, yikes. What made me distinguished was the Holy Spirit within me. And people at those gatherings and physicians in those gatherings, even those who I did not know, wanted to know me because of who I was in Christ. They didn't even know those words specifically, but they saw something that they wanted to know and meet and get to know. Some of them heard how successful I was. Others had not a clue. It didn't really matter what the outside garments were. It was the inside garments. Therefore, do not worry. That's the second thing Cheryl says to me. Don't worry of what we should eat or what we should drink, or what we should wear. For all these things the Gentile seeks. The world seeks these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But you do something different. This is your character. This is your instruction. This is your motivation. This is your focus. You seek first what? The kingdom of God. Where do you find it? The secret place first. In church, obviously, when we worship the Lord. And his righteousness, not your own, not the righteous things you have done, but his, and all these things, well, are you kidding me? Shall be added to you. Even when I was walking in the dump of Manila, I was rich with all of these things because I didn't need any of them. It didn't need it. Who's the most rich person in the world? Somebody who doesn't need anything. When God finally meets you, when he's taking you home, you won't need anything. You don't need another dose of morphine. You don't need anything. Therefore, don't worry about the tomorrow. That's a great saying. For tomorrow will worry about its own things. It's like it has a separate personality tomorrow. What is he saying? It's crazy. There's a pressure on you to worry about what tomorrow worries about. Am I going to have another booster vaccine? Is there going to be a COVID Lambda Delta? Is there going to be... Well, probably will. You know, probably will. I can remember when we were working on the bird flu. And there's bird flu guys out there that are working on biological weapons just for you. Seriously, they are. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. In other words, every day has its challenges. But it's not a place to worry. It's a place for you in the test that God has given you to prove that the Holy Spirit lives within you, to prove that your character is changing from the kingdom of this world to the kingdom of God, to prove to yourself, first of all, and then to prove to the enemy all along the way and others that can see what you're going through and say, how on earth is he doing that? How can she stand up to that kind of pressure? What gives her the... Oh, this is a good one. What gives her the right? The enemy comes with that one a lot. What gives you the right to do what you're doing? And what's the answer? I don't have any rights of my own. I'm under the shadow of his wing. He that lives, abides under the shadow of his wing, shall have mercy. Mercy. Beyond what he needs, the mercy will come. It's not just sufficient to meet today's trouble. It's going to be more than sufficient. See, that's the miracle of the Holy Spirit. We say, I need the Holy Spirit just to make it through. Not true. You need the Holy Spirit because it's going to come out, and through the abundance of the Holy Spirit, it's going to overflow out from you with through the gifts of the Spirit. You're going to be praying for somebody, and it'll be a prayer with prophetic insight that they have not seen or heard before. It'll be a scripture that they never knew and didn't see before. It'll be something that wasn't in you pouring out from you. And you're going to get excited about it. How can we not get excited about it? When God gives us something we didn't deserve through his mercy, and it just pours out, you say, wow, look at that. That is really exciting. I was really excited last Sunday when Donnie was up here preaching. Most of his sermon, he was still going back like this, laughing. Did you notice that? He was laughing because of what the Holy Spirit had done in his heart. So he used to say, well, this isn't it. We're on the way to hit. Now he says, this is it, and we're on the way to it. It doesn't really matter. The Holy Spirit, you know, and I just love that place. The secret place is here, and it's going to be there tomorrow, and tomorrow after that. And it only gets better. It only gets better, sometimes immeasurably in your own context. Every day I say, I don't know, I'm looking back at my list of pills that I took yesterday. And Cheryl says, it's getting better. So I look back. See, I have records. Owen keeps telling everybody should document things. Well, I did. So I said, well, look at that. Last week I was doing 4 or 5 a night. Now I'm doing 2 or 3. It gets better. I doesn't feel any better. I'm in that day. And I was like, oh, why can't I get over this? Well, because God put this trial before me, not to test me so I would fail, but to test me, to prove me that I would succeed, to test me, to bring me into the place, to be more of have the character of Jesus in my life, even in that place. So I'm not afraid of tomorrow, because where's worry born? It's born in fear, the fears that you have. What if? There are a million what ifs. Now, I'm going to close with this. We are called to spiritual warfare. We're not just called to be conformed to Christ, image of Christ, but Christ did one with other things. He prayed for other people. He prayed for the church. We ought to be praying like that too. We are spiritual prayers. Kings and queens unto our God, full of warfare weapons and prayer. So when he wakes you up in the night, that's a good opportunity to exercise the weapons of your warfare. Start praying in tongues if you don't know how to pray. It doesn't matter. You know what? You may be in your jammers. It doesn't matter. He's going to clothe you like one of his mighty ones. You may get up and the enemy says, who do you think you are? In your underwear walking around the house. You're a crazy person. No, I'm not. I'm one of his warriors. I tell you, I can't say it was physically, but there are times when I think I feel the breath of angels' wings when I'm praying. One of the gifts of the Spirit is discernment of spirits, and they are spirits. The other night I woke up and I smelled something horrible. So I got up to see if it was me or what. No, it wasn't. It was just a horrible smell that came in. The Lord says, you need to rebuke this. Something evil. So I did. That's it. Went away. Might have been from the furnace for all I know. Maybe a mouse got trapped in the filters. I have no idea. So I washed out the filters the other day, but she didn't find any mice. Thankfully. One more thing to worry about. Well, we're called to pray. When Jesus called his disciples to pray in the garden before he was crucified, he said, and this is from Luke chapter 22, he says, pray that you may not enter your temptation. What temptation? What kind of prayer is that? I'm not being tempted. You woke me up in the middle of the night. His disciples were sleeping, so somebody that's going to wake them up would be Jesus himself. The temptation is sadness and the loss of hope. That is not your position to be in. Your focus is not on darkness, but on light. If your eyes are looking at just darkness, don't stay there. I see it. I'm walking away. I see it. I'm praying for them. Jesus himself had to say that. He said to the Lord in that prayer time, not my will, but thine be done. Not the darkness, but your wonderful outcome. Taking his focus off the suffering on the cross and on to you. You personally. The one who wandered away from the 99. You personally. That's what he was praying. It says that an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthened him. Now, I'm just going to surmise this, but if we're to be conformed to the image of Christ, I'm asking for that. I just don't want to hear the breath of the wind on my prayers. I want to know that they're there. The comfort of the Lord coming in a spiritual way to me. Oftentimes the Lord says, you don't need the angels, you need me. Most of the time, if not all, he says that, in fact. Even after I sense the presence of angels, I feel the presence of the Lord. Because I know him. I practice being with him in a secret place. There's no place that you can take me that I will be somehow away from him. He is my first love now. He will never stop being my first love. I won't ever desert him. Can't make me do it. Can't do it. You can't somehow torture it out of me. You can't bring a circumstance too big. I know that because the Bible says the Lord will never tempt us beyond what we're capable of standing. There's nothing that no circumstance can he bring to us that will bring us to our knees other than to the throne room of God asking and pleading for mercy. Mercy, O God, mercy, O God. Well, he finds his disciples sleeping again. And he just repeats it. He says, rise up and pray. Don't get remorseful about this. Don't say, I've failed you again. rise up and pray, lest you enter in temptation again. Fear, sadness, loss of hope. There is no fear in God. There is no loss of hope in God. There is no sadness in the Holy Spirit. There is joy, inexpressible joy that we have in God. You know, I want to see that more when we come to gather together. Not just the joy that we have in the Lord, but now he's given us a joy in one another. When I see your face, I see the presence of the Holy Spirit. What a joy that would be. What do I see when I look in a chocolate cake? I smile when I see that. They had this, the flourless tort cake that they're serving nowadays. Oh, really good. You can tell by the smile on my face. Well, the stuff inside you is a lot better than that. A lot, lot better than that. And so I rejoice this morning in you. Father, I thank you, Lord God, you have brought us together this morning. As you brought the sparrows to the worship music in my car, you brought us here to hear you speak to us the words of love that you have in your heart toward us. And we pray more earnestly than ever for your mercy to be poured out upon this dry and thirsty land. They don't even know they're thirsty. They think they can see perfectly clear, but they can't. They can't see right in front of their nose. They can't see the judgment of God. They can't see the righteousness of God. They can't see anything. They're blind. How could they know? Lest you bring the truth to them, Lord God, and if possible, use us in this room, those we know. Use us. Pray for those we know that have no understanding of the kingdom of God, only the kingdoms of this world. Pray for them. Maybe there's a specific person right now in your life that needs a Savior. Well, we all know they do. But they're getting to know it. Interestingly, Jesus, when he ministered, he didn't always present the gospel in the full text of being baptized in water, baptized in the Spirit, and coming to church and worshiping the Lord. He just said, this man is not far from the kingdom of God, and walks away. So many of us are bound by the idea we have to have closure and completeness in what God is doing. We don't have to do that. One waters, another harvest. We don't have to do anything. It's the Holy Spirit through the church, plural, that is doing the work of the kingdom. That isn't the kingdom of God just in you. It's the kingdom of God in the church. Let your will be done here on this earth, in this country, in this world, this planet, just like it is in heaven. And by the way, in heaven, it's a wonderful place. Planets go according to the will of God, period. There is no other influence. That's the reference. Amen. Amen. I'm excited. Let me smile like Don. Yeah. He put a smile on my face. I know that.